In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
So Christmas program Sunday is one of our favorite Sundays of the year. Mine certainly, one of my favorite Sundays of the year. The celebration of the imminent coming of our Lord's Nativity. And how could anyone be uncheered by so many youngsters in church with their voices and their movements and their songs? A big part of our joy, a big part of our salvation for us as adults and older kids is how we see ourselves reflected in them. Parents and grandparents are reflected in the very looks, in the very facial expressions of our children. You know, we see the similarities between siblings. I mean, you can tell Riley and Levi are brothers just by looking at them. Elsie's got a smile that's the spit and image of Grandma Phyllis sometimes. But it's so much more than just genetics and looks and facial expressions. These kids not only inherit DNA, but they also inherit our faith, our collective faith. They inherit a tradition, and we see this tradition come alive in them. When our kids put on their program a little later, we'll actually see that inheritance. We'll see that they inherited something from their Sunday school teachers. You know, call it a joy for Jesus, if you want. There will be a hint of their priest in the celebration. There's going to be a healthy dose of choir in them. And the devotion and example that you all set as their fellow parishioners, that gets absorbed and that gets expressed as well. This youngest generation absorbs something of the whole church, both collectively and then each of you as individuals within it. And all the things that we hold most dear as the people of God, the things we hold as most important, all the moments and the events we celebrate, this tradition is being inherited and then reborn in these children just as surely as their looks and their facial expressions are inherited from their parents and grandparents. And we're always delighted, aren't we, when we see the goodness of the life of Christ in our youngsters, when they sing with raised voices, when they pray from the heart with such innocence and faithfulness, when they serve the underprivileged around them and they know how to take care of somebody else, when they defend a vulnerable friend, when they are quick to love and quick to forgive and quick to rejoice. We find these moments, you know, striking and light-giving and maybe even surprising when our kids show that they've absorbed the very best in us. First of all, it means that we did something right, doesn't it? It means at least we did one thing right. And second, it means our youngsters are paying more attention than we sometimes think they are. But what about this second fact, how close our kids actually pay attention? Doesn't it also allow them to inherit some of our, how shall I put it, some of our not-so-best moments? I've got to share a slightly embarrassing story. I think I told this story a number of years ago, but it's a good story and it's worth bringing out of the vault once in a while, and I suspect most of you adults will be able to relate. So, going back in time, as Michelle and I raised our kids, we insisted on and hopefully modeled clean and respectful language in our home. Respectful and clean language was simply expected. It was what was expected within the family. Now, almost 20 years ago, maybe about 18 years ago, I got sick with pneumonia in July, midsummer of all things. Part of that experience was 3 days of really high fever. Now, when I get a high fever, I get a little goofy. And by a little goofy, I mean I can actually start to hallucinate. So at the time, our kids had this little plastic toy with this handle attached to it. And if you squeeze the handle, this siren would go off and these bright lights would start flashing all around. It's totally designed to irritate parents. I mean, that has to be its primary purpose in life. I can't think of any other purpose for this toy. So my fever's humming along about 103, and I flop down on the couch, and wouldn't you know, I get stabbed in the rear by this hard plastic handle under the cushion, and the siren goes off. So I reach under the cushion and pull this thing out. And of course, once it's no longer under the cushion, the sound is like 12 times louder than it was when it was under the cushion. Plus, these flashing neon lights are blinding me and burning my retina. And I've got this fever and I'm half hallucinating and totally confused what's going on. And so I yell, "What the hot place of eternal torment is this?" Michelle's jaw drops. The kids go, Now, besides the fact that this toy mysteriously disappeared over the next few days, permanently, that should have been the end of the story. But of course, it wasn't. A month or so later, we're over at Grandma and Grandpa's house. And I bet you can guess what's coming. One of the kids decides to show off some newly learned vocabulary in front of Grandma and Grandpa. I wonder if any of you parents can relate, if anything like this has ever happened to you. Kids absorb not only our best, not only our faith, not only our love in Jesus, they also absorb our not-so-best moments as well. And more than a moment of language, kids sometimes witness us at our worst, and sometimes that gets in there too. All of which means what? In both our epistle and gospel lessons today, we heard Jesus' ancestry. In the epistle that Lily read for us, it was his spiritual ancestry, his ancestry of faith. In the gospel, it was his actual family, his family tree, all the people who went into the human person of Jesus. We heard them named. All the humanity the Son of God inherited and absorbed. And what that means is God willingly inherited us. God inherited us. In this family tree, as you might expect for Jesus, were some pretty impressive folks. There are some of the most faithful people ever to live. People that were loving, people that were courageous, people that were loyal, people that were honest, people that were pillars of their community. But there are also some you might call less desirables. There were manipulators. There were adulterers. There were murderers. There were slave owners. There were thieves and there were scoundrels. There were strong and there were weak. There were the wealthy and the poor. There was biological birth and there was adoption. There were locals and immigrants. There were wise and there were fools. There were fighters and there were peacemakers. You could go to on and on and on in that list. And this good and this bad, this us and this them, was not just, you know, this person is good and this person is bad. It didn't work that cleanly. Both good and bad were to be found in nearly all of them as individuals, you know, because everyone is a blend. It would have been quite the family gathering if they had all lived at the same time. I mean, if you think your family gatherings are interesting. But just like our children absorb and inherit from us, God, in the person of Jesus, inherits from humanity everything. And what all this means is that Jesus accepts our glories and our failings. He accepts our weaknesses and our strengths. He accepts our life and our death. And while Jesus calls us to life, and while he calls us to virtue, and while he calls us to perfection, he accepts us even while we're broken. He accepts us while we're still in our afflictions, and he accepts us even while we're still in our sins. And more than accepts, he takes those broken and weak parts of our humanity and takes them on and makes them his own. And here's the mystery. Whatever is touched by God can be healed. Whatever is touched by God can be healed. When the weakest and most broken and most vulnerable aspects of my humanity are touched by God, I am changed. You know, when light goes into dark, light always wins. It always wins. And that's why the Son of God accepts it all, because he is light coming into where we are darkest. We're at the doorstep of the birth of Jesus Christ, the entrance of God into humanity. And the church always stops us on this Sunday and says, "Listen, listen, hear who and what God is willing to inherit, who and what Jesus takes into his person to heal everything. He takes everything I am, everything you are, everything about us. He takes it into himself, the good and the bad, the glory and the failings, our light and our dark. He takes everything in about you and touches it with light that it might possibly be healed. Amen.
Amen.